that took place in a specific time in history, but also is going to take place in a specific time in history, because it's talking about not only is Jerusalem coming back into the promised land, or Israel coming back into the promised land, but it's talking about a prophetic day at the end of the eschaton where the age is all wrapped up. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I've seen any lines laying down with the lamb or any lions eating any straw yet. Have you? I just seen a guy post a mutton roast on Facebook yesterday in Australia. That's what he likes. Hopefully he's tuned in this morning. So God wants us to know that he's not done working, that we can take great encouragement. He's not idle. He didn't sit down on the seventh day, fold his arms, and say that I'm retired. A lot of people believe that. They believe that God has done his work in 6 days. He's folded his arms. He's retired. The only thing that he's got time for is to listen to us call him with our prayers. Oh, man, that's a little view of my God. My God said that he is working all the time. I love what Jesus said in John 14. We often use it for funerals. We shouldn't, because it is of encouragement during funerals, but it should be encouraging to us while we're still here. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Do you want to think about something exciting? Think about what God's doing for you right now. Think about the promise that you have there. God doesn't make promises that he doesn't keep. This treadmill or this hamster wheel or whatever cycle that we go through, we all experience it. You might not be in one right now. You may be on top of the world right now. I hope that you are. But I'm telling you, everybody gets into that cycle in their life. I can remember when we had children and they were young, you know, when they were in diapers. That seemed like an endless cycle. And Sherry would say, well, Brother Clayton, I don't know how you remember that. You didn't change any of the diapers. That's sadly true. But it seemed as though that I was buying a lot of them. And they were never going to get out of them. And then when they get out of the diapers, they never get out of the sports stage. You're always taking them someplace. It seems as though that's going to go over forever. And now that they've moved out of the house, it seems as though that, you know, Sherry and I kind of go through the same thing over and over again. Great company, but going through the same thing over and over again. Get kind of stuck into that cycle. God created this world that we live in 6 days. And I think that's impressive. Think about this, that Jesus is the architect of the universe. That's declared in Colossians 1:16. Undoubtedly that Jesus is the architect when he was there with the Trinity when they created the universe. It says, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth. If the triune God can create in 6 days, just imagine what your new home's going to look like after he has spent thousands of years working on it. After sin has been judged, after sin has been sentenced and dealt with, God promises to get rid of the old world and recreate the new world without the possibility of sin. You guys have something to look forward to that Adam and Eve didn't have to look forward to. Adam and Eve was in a perfect world with the possibility of sin, and they sinned. We have been recreated for a world that is going to be created when we're going to live in there without the possibility of sinning. Hard to understand. Our position will be better than that of Adam and Eve in the new world that's going to be recreated. You have to think about that a little bit. When that remnant of sin is dealt with, it says that he's going to wipe away every last tear from every last face of every last child of his. It will be unimaginable, but you have to imagine it. No more making the donuts. No more making the donuts. No more rut. No more getting old. No more getting sick. No more going to work. We're going to work. We're going to go to work. I'll bring that up in just a minute. No more frustrations. No more funerals. Just joy. Just joy. And of course, joy's going to be there too. I just thought I'd bring that up this morning. Will we work? Absolutely, we're going to work. Won't be on no hamster treadmill. The idea of working in heaven is foreign to many people. But yet, Scripture teaches it so clearly. When God created Adam, he took him and put him in the garden to work and to take care of it. Work has always been part of human history, and it's going to continue to be part of human history. On one of the main points of this life is to be like Jesus, right? Isn't that why we go through what we go through in order to be conformed to the image of the Son? And if we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son, and the Son finds work in the future, something that he is going to tremendously enjoy, I think it's going to be part of our life. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." And if we're going to be shaped like Jesus, we ought to be shaped like him on every aspect of life. Jesus also said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Is Jesus done? No, he's not done. Doesn't it say that when we get to heaven, we will be given the responsibilities of judging the angels? That's kind of an awesome responsibility. I mean, I don't believe that God's ever done with his creative process and that he's going to incorporate us somehow with the gifts and talents that he's given us. We're not going to show up on the first day of work. What do you want me to do? You're not going to have that coworker that's driving you absolutely bananas because they're a micromanager. Or that boss who always steals your idea so that he can get ahead so he can tread down on top of you. One of the things that I enjoy, and it's crazy. It's stupid crazy. I love to get out there, and I love to cut wood. I enjoy that so much. I know that there's not going to be any trees in heaven. God's not going to let me get up there and just cut a whole bunch of trees down. But could you imagine finding something that you enjoy doing every time that you go out and do? I mean, I know that some people have their jobs, and they just love their jobs. I mean, it's... they wake up in the morning, that's the only thing they want to do. That's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. All we want to do is to be like Jesus. Where the Father is working, we're going to be working. No more rut. Yeah. No more gossips or gold bricks or those who pass the bucks, slave driving tyrants for bosses, and sin will be removed. And everything that we will do will be for the glory of God. Are we going to cry in heaven? The Bible says he's going to wipe away every one of our tears. I think he's talking about the pain. The older I get, the more I think about sentimental things, it starts to bring a tear to my eye. God is an emotional being. All you got to do is read the Old Testament. You'll see God express his feelings over and over again. I don't believe that he's going to divorce our emotions from us. I believe that we will probably shed tears, but it's going to not be tears of sadness. It's going to be tears of joy. Can you imagine running into somebody in heaven that you haven't seen for a long time that you deeply loved? I'm telling you, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eyes when you run into somebody you ain't seen forever, especially if you happen to think, you know, I ain't sure I'm going to see this person when I get there. Oh, my goodness gracious, here they are. What a beautiful day that will be. So I believe that we will shed a tear. I believe that we will work. But the Bible also talks about that there's going to be a new song in heaven. Actually, it says it in quite a few different places. And some of y'all ain't going to like it. Revelation teaches that we're going to sing a new song in heaven. Not only are we going to sing a new song, we're going to hear a new song in heaven as well. And I like old music. I listen to one predominant type of music. I listen to classic rock music. Y'all probably think that we've done hired Beelzebub as the pastor of the church. He doesn't listen to Christian music going down the road. I listen to classic rock music. And the reason I like old music is because it makes me think about things that have taken place in the past. Fond memories. You know, some songs are pretty decent songs and some songs are pretty bad songs, but even the bad songs makes me think about the things that I've done in the past that I wished I hadn't have done it. It makes me think about the people that I've done it with and wonder where they're at. Crazy song that came to my head while I was going through here was that song Stuck in the Middle with You. Steeler's Wheel, is that the name of the group? Say that again. Steely Dan. And it's a goofed up song. But I was goofed up and I did it with goofed up people and it taught me lessons in my life. I still like to hear the lyrics. I don't want to go back and repeat the things that I've done. But I wonder what happened to those people that I used to do these stupid things with. So it causes me to reminisce about different things. But the good thing is when I get to heaven and there's going to be new songs, I'm going to enjoy the new songs because they're going to be for the glory of God. And they won't be for me. They'll be coming off of our tongues and out of our hearts to His ears. Be a beautiful song. God's going to put a new song in here. And He's going to help us express it and magnify our feelings for Him. Three Psalms, Psalm 96, 98, and 149 begin with, "Sing to the Lord a new song." As does Isaiah in chapter 42, 10, "Sing to the Lord a new song." Psalm 33, 3, "Sing to Him a new song." And Psalm 144, 9 adds, "I will sing a new song to you, O God." Now, I don't want to disappoint you. You know, my classic rock's not going to be in there, I can guarantee you that. But neither is, "Oh, do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me," ain't going to be up there either. In spite of what you want, it ain't going to be up there. We are going to experience something new. I pray that 2023 is new for you guys in a blessed way. I also believe that there's going to be a process of learning forever in heaven. I hated school. Oh my goodness, dude, I despise school. I like 2 days, first day and last day. There's only 2 days of school I like. Well, play day in middle school. Maybe 4 days in school I like. That was it. But I didn't. I don't like it. But the Bible says that when we get to heaven that we shall know God as He is God. We'll know Him better. But it doesn't mean that we're going to know Him perfectly in the sense that we're going to know everything that we can know about God. You got to think about it. God is an infinite being. We are finite beings. We had a beginning. God has existed from all eternity past. One of the things that's going to make heaven so wonderful is that we're going to constantly learn things about our God that we could not possibly grasp with sinful minds, and it's going to cause our worship services to explode. It's not going to be like, this is dress rehearsal. We're doing the best we can. You know, sometimes we come in like this morning. I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning. I come in, I was dragging. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm really not in the mood for Sunday morning worship. I was just being honest. Y'all know it, right? Yeah. But once I start diving into God's Word and start picking it apart a little bit and start thinking about where I'm going to go and who I'm going to go with and what He's all going to do for me, it's like kind of changes all that. But wait till you get there. Actually, the best idea of heaven, the best way that we can know what heaven is to go read the book of, I believe it's 1 Peter, Toby. Is it 1 Peter, 2 Peter talks about where the the earth going to be burnt up and recreated. 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter and read about the recreation of the earth. People were like, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I don't even know if I'm going to enjoy when I get up there. God is going to recreate this earth, and this will be the heaven. It even talks about the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to Zion. And here's where Toby and I start parting ways just a little bit on our millennial view, but that's okay. He can be wrong. That's all right. But it's not going to be, I used to think it was going to be so sterile. I thought it was going to be like a hospital experience where things are just going to be white and bright. And I actually like cloudy days. I mean, because I have a hard time with my... But it's going to be a beautiful place. It's going to be this earth with no disease. No more pain and no more sickness. No more car accidents. No more finging pointing down in Washington, D.C. Here, I'm going to give you a 50-cent word today. Theocracy. Right now, we're governed. I really think it's ruled. But we're governed by a bunch of yahoos down there in Washington, D.C. Theocracy means that God is going to be our king. Jesus is going to be our king and our Lord. And we've got a king that doesn't expect from us. We've got a king that died for us, that cares about us. There's going to be a huge difference in the world to come than the one that we're living in. So you're not going to be stuck in some kind of rut. I know that you might feel that way right now, and I know that some of you guys have had some really difficult times over the past few years, and I kind of think that each year, and it could be me as I get older, I'm just falling into that generational thing that kind of longs back, but I think that each year, it seems as though that every year holds less good stuff than the previous year. I don't know, it could just be me. But we're going to have a learning process. We're going to constantly learn more things. It even says that the angels who have been with God since the creation of the world still doesn't know everything about God. They're still tripped up by our salvation. I want to read this to you. They're confused over why God would save us. They don't understand it. So they're learning. Peter writes, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours and I's, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring the person and the time of the Spirit of Christ in them was indicated when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, talking about the prophets serving you through the writing of their words, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent of heaven, things into which the angels long to look because they don't get it. I don't get it. If I was God, I'd have passed me over. So baffling. Angels are like, why are you going to save that person? Why are you going to let your son Jesus Christ die for that person? You know, if the angels are struggling with trying to understand the big picture about God, I believe that when we get to heaven, it's going to be a new learning experience. And if you're like me and you got ADD, God's got that all worked out. We won't have to worry about that in our studies. I want to close with this thought. There's four things that I want you to consider when you feel like you're hopeless or you're stuck in a rut. And I know that your job can make you feel that way, and certain life struggles can make you feel that way, and some relationships, even ministries, can make you feel that way. It can make you feel like you're in a rut and you're hopeless and you're in this secular world. When you feel this way, there's four things that I want you to remember. There's a reservation book in heaven with your name in it. If you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not everybody's name's in it. Only those who have trusted Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for their sins. The second thing that I want you to remember is God's got something spectacularly amazing waiting for you. Remember, he spent 6 days here working on it. He spent over 2,000 years working on your new home. The third thing I want you to remember is that worship's going to always be fresh, vibrant, and God will get the glory from everything that is done. And the fourth thing is God, through the prophet Isaiah, wrote, "Behold, I am doing new things. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, a river in the desert." God is still working. God has not stopped. God has always been in the process of working. When God created the new covenant, he made it void and he made it a new covenant. When he made the old covenant, he made it void, he made the new covenant. And God can make a new heart. This morning I'm going to ask Talon to play us a song of invitation. If you don't know whether your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you want to know for certain today, I pray that you would come down as Talon leads us in a song of invitation. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, took your penalty by dying on the cross, a sinner's death, so that you might be made the righteousness of God in God's sight. And the Bible says that you have to publicly profess him, that you have to trust that what Jesus did was specifically for you, not for every single body, but specifically for you, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ died for your sins. If you want to do that this morning, come up and talk to me.
Please stand if you're able.
Pray. Lord God, our Father, we just thank you so much for your love, the love that you showed us by sending your Son to be our Savior. We just pray that as we go into this new year, that we would look forward to the things that you've set before us. Let us keep our eyes focused on you and everything that we're about. Let our hearts be open to your leading in everything that we do, that would bring honor and glory to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we go our way, keep us safe, that we'd be able to come back together again to worship and praise and give thanks to you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And our sending song will be verse 1 of "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."
Blessed be the tie that binds.